Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Thursday afternoon, we are almost to the weekend. I told you Monday, like I do every Monday, hey, don't stress that it's Monday because the weeks fly by. It's going to be Friday before you know it. And here we are sitting on a hot Thursday afternoon. Can't wait for a real cool front to get through here, but it's a warm Thursday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. And tomorrow is already free for all Friday. But, you know, there's good news tonight because there's Thursday night football. And, you know, this time of year, I really look forward to football. And it's Washington and Green Bay. I think it's at Green Bay. And it's always exciting to have football on and a lot of great games, college games this weekend, LSU in Florida. And the Saints take on the 49ers in the Caesars Superdome on Sunday. We'll talk more about that on the show tomorrow afternoon. Obviously, we have a lot to talk about in the aftermath of what happened yesterday. The news broke while we were on the air that Charlie Kirk, a conservative activist, podcaster, talk host, had been shot. And before the end of the show, we got the news that Charlie Kirk had died. And just my first impression, being someone who totally disagrees with Charlie Kirk, my first impression was, this is horrific. This is horrible. This is not the America I was born in. And we are all to blame. I mean, not me, not you, but our country is really to blame for this happening. And we're going to talk about maybe how we got here and some of the things that might have led us to this point. And only you can stop this trend from happening. Now, we don't control the individuals who are not mentally stable. You and I don't control the individuals who are capable of committing such horrific acts as shooting somebody. We don't control them. And there will always be those people out there. But they are fueled by the hate that a lot of people in America profess. Now, let's make one clear distinction here. There is a difference between disagreement and hate. Disagreement is not hate. I can disagree with Charlie Kirk, but I didn't hate him. In fact, I enjoyed coming on the air, and if I read something that he had said or something that he was promoting and I disagree with it, it was good. It was good content for the show. And let's all remember that Charlie Kirk himself invited debate. There's nothing wrong with debate. There's nothing wrong. Charlie Kirk passionately represented his side. Very passionately. And he did a good job of representing his side. He was damn good at what he did. It's not, debate is not the problem. The problem is the hate within people that rises up to the point where it's manifested in society. And while a lot of people who are really haters, people who look for reasons to hate, they're not going to go kill somebody. But I think vicariously, their hate gives those other individuals permission to go do what they want to do. Anyway, we're going to talk about this on the show this afternoon. And, you know, I really hope that we can have a calm discussion. In fact, we're going to have a calm discussion because if anything isn't calm or if anything gets out of control, you're done. You know, there was a caller yesterday that, you know, on the day Charlie Kirk died, first thing she wanted to do was blame the Democrats. Ended conversation right then and there. She was gone. And we'll do that again. You know, we control this show. You don't have a right to call this show. Being on this show is not a right. It is a privilege. You have a right to call the show, but being on the air is a privilege. It's not a right. And I respect freedom of speech, but I don't respect hate speech. I don't respect people who are looking for reasons to be hateful. And I think sometimes people are frustrated, they're miserable in their lives, and it makes them feel better to hate. It makes them feel better to mock other people. It makes them feel better to be hateful toward somebody else. It makes them feel better about themselves. So this is like a deep psychological problem in America, because obviously there are a lot of Americans out there who really don't like their lives. They won't admit it, but the way they bash others, the way they are hateful toward others for just having a different opinion, that suggests to me that you'll never admit it, but you really don't like yourself. You're not very happy with yourself. And yesterday I got very passionate about the idea that this country was built on debate. So anyway, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that this afternoon. And I want you to be open to the things that we talk about. And I want you to participate with calls and text. But, you know, I'm not going to be part of this hate mongering BS. And I'm not going to share any of that hate-mongering BS on the air from Scoot on the Air Facebook or from Scoot on the Air Substack. There's less of it on Substack. Facebook, you all have to know this. Facebook has become just a platform of hate from frustrated people. There are people in this country who are meaningless. They have no power. But they feel like they have power when they express their opinion on Facebook. And there are a lot of not intelligent people on Facebook. Maybe there's some intelligent people on Facebook, but there are a lot of unintelligent, misinformed people who believe the wrong things on Facebook. And they present misinformation all the time. And again, it's something more unique to Facebook than other social media platforms. So don't ever let Facebook bother you. Don't ever let the trolls, don't ever let the hateful idiots on Facebook bother you one bit. It's sad they're there, but they are. And they're so self-righteous. And their desire to lash out at others, I think, is the result of them really, they'll never admit it, but they're not happy with themselves. And they want power. They want to feel like they can make change happen. By voicing their opinion on Facebook, they can make change happen. It's their way of feeling powerful. Because they're nothing. They're insignificant. And they have no power. But they've got this big voice thinking that they put it out there and a popular Facebook page and people are going to see it and they feel like they've got power. Well, they don't. And I'm certainly not going to feed that feeling. So it's obvious we have a lot to talk about. And then yesterday, I guess this was right after the shooting. There was a shooting at a high school in Colorado, Evergreen High School. And I think there's at least one student still in critical condition in the hospital. Yesterday, New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell pleaded not guilty in federal court. Did you notice LaToya Cantrell's look? Did you notice her new hair? Well, that's not her hair. That is not her hair. You know, there's no way she could be doing enough collagen for her hair to grow that long over that short a period of time. That is not LaToya Cantrell's hair. Here's what I think happened. I think she was advised to change her look so she did not look like the woman who was indicted by the federal government. The woman who was indicted by the federal government had a short man haircut. She she looked kind of like a bulldog. And that really rough, short haircut. And I like women with short hair, too. But her manly haircut made her look rough. And that's the woman who was indicted by the federal government. So I think she was advised to change her look. So now she's got braids. And this is designed to give her a new image in the eyes of the court and maybe potential jury members. But, I wouldn't be surprised if she takes a plea deal. I think this is all serious enough. And I think the FBI has enough information on her. And she's going to be learning about it. Her lawyers are going to be learning about it. I'm not going to be surprised if she takes a plea deal at some point. And they're watching every move she makes. They're watching every phone call, every text she sends. She can't make a move without them watching her because the investigation continues. And for me, it's not about the $70,000. It's the fact that you took advantage of citizens. You took advantage of the people who put you in office. You ripped them off. I don't care whether it was for $100 or $70,000. The amount doesn't matter to me. She deserves what's coming, whatever that is. She is innocent until proven guilty. Let's see what happens in court. But she and no elected official should be able to get away with what she allegedly got away with. And from the information, it seems pretty damn obvious what she did. And along the same lines, our governor, Republican Jeff Landry, kind of did the same thing. Took advantage of his position of power and went on a trip on a private jet, claiming to save the state of Louisiana money. That's BS. Jeff Landry knew that wasn't right. He's a lawyer. I mean, if he didn't know that was wrong, then he would have to admit to being stupid. So he made a stupid mistake, and he's paying a $900 fine. I mentioned this yesterday. That's ridiculous. That's not a fair fine. It's no problem for Jeff Landry to pay $900. I mean, I could pay a $900 fine. That's nothing to Jeff Landry. If you're not going to have fines or punishment that's severe enough to hurt somebody, then don't have fines or don't have punishment. That's not going to hurt Jeff Landry. And that's why these politicians continue to do this stuff, because they really believe they can get away with it. So their sense of power renders them stupid. So Jeff Landry was wrong for doing that. And he knows it was wrong. Don't believe any excuse he gives. He knows it was wrong. And if he doesn't know it's wrong, then he would have to admit that he's stupid and a really bad lawyer. Because if a lawyer doesn't know that that's wrong for a politician to do, then they're not a very good lawyer. So let's see him admit that. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer back at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you too as well.
Well, I know you were not at the station yesterday, but you had to be shocked when you got the news that Charlie Kirk had been shot and then died.
Shocked doesn't even really cover it. I mean, I'm truly sick. I feel sick. I feel physically ill.
I didn't even want to come in and do the show because I'm so disgusted with America. I'm so disgusted that we're at this point. So I knew I had to come in and do the show, and I owe it to the audience to do the show at a time like this. But emotionally, I don't want to talk about this. Man, I want to just sit home and relax and watch stupid TV. But I knew I had to come in and deal with this. And, you know, sometimes, you know, my job is fun and great. And there are times like today when it is a struggle to do the show.
Like you said, kind of at the beginning of the show, we're not really going to give people any extra oxygen to come here and say things about you and me that are categorically untrue. So, you know, if your instinct is to say, oh, they must be jumping up and down about this. They must be dancing. They must be so happy. They must be laughing. How dare you? Why are you pretending not to know us? We come on here. We do this show. We got our heart on our sleeves. Every day we tell you what's inside our heart and what we love and what we value. And if you know us that way and you still have the moxie to even just give any oxygen to the idea that you or I are happy about this development, you're sick. You're sick. Why are you pretending not to know us?
And you know what's really sad, Ian, is, and this is very hurtful. Yesterday, I could not have been more sincere with my disgust that this happened to somebody that I disagree with. Because my disagreement does not translate into hate. My disagreement over Charlie Kirk's issues and policies and the things that he promotes, my disagreement with him has nothing to do with violence or hate. I don't hate him. I never expressed hate for Charlie Kirk. I've never expressed hate for Donald Trump. But there are people who want to perceive disagreement as hate, and you're not allowed on this show anymore. We are changing the whole policy. And being on this show is a privilege. It is not your right. And you can think or say whatever the hell you want, but you are a small group of people. And there are people who love our show. They love us. They love what we stand for. They love what we do. They don't want us to change. And that is the massive group of people who are listening. And we're not about to allow this small faction of militant listeners to change the tone of our show and to question our integrity to the point where you think we're happy. You can't stand. These people can't stand that I'm hurt by this, that Ian's hurt by this, that we don't condone this, that we didn't want this to happen, that we are outraged and sickened that it did happen. You can't stand that we have that attitude because it robs you of hating us. Well, you can take your hate somewhere else because being on this show, and it really has always been this way, but we've gotten a little relaxed with it. Being on this show is a privilege. It's not your right. And that's the way we're going to run the show. Now, if you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And I will tell you that I am very disgusted with what this country has become. This is not the America I want to live in. It is very ironic and appropriate that we are talking about this incident in America on the day that we remember the 9/11 attack. And most of our bumper music today, going in and out of breaks, is music that was written about 9/11, including this song by the Eagles, A Hole in the World. I'm Scoot. Thank you for being with us. I appreciate all of you. And we're going to make the show better for all of you. And we're going to try to do what we can to inspire us all to be better as Americans. And we'll be back on WWL. We should not be happy in America right now because this is not the America we're supposed to be. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit around and just let this happen without doing as much as I can to point it out. And let's make one very clear, factual distinction to Elon Musk, to Jesse Waters, and to everybody who is trying to make this about the left versus the right. For everybody who's trying to make this seem like it is a war, the left against the right, for all of those individuals who are doing that, you're wrong. The fact is, this was one person. He does not represent the left. He does not represent Democrats. And if you want to make that assignment, then you're the one who's making a mistake. You are fueling the hate. This is one person who is obviously not mentally stable. Because you and I can get frustrated in a debate, and I would like to think that nowhere is there a thought of violence. We can have a passionate debate and totally disagree with each other, but there should not be the thought of violence. So let's be clear about this. This guy does not represent anybody except himself. And Elon Musk saying that the Democrats are the party of murderers, and Jesse Waters fueling the flames. I appreciate Greg Gutfeld not doing that. Greg Gutfeld was just great yesterday in talking about how this is just an individual. And, you know, one of the problems that we have collectively as a country, not necessarily you or me, but that we have as a country, let's keep these two things in mind. First of all, we want the politicians to fight for us. We don't want the politicians to compromise for us. And that's a mistake. We want them to dig in and fight. And if nothing is happening, then at least they fought for us. That's not my mentality, but that is the mentality of a lot of Americans. And the politicians respond to that. It's not like in the days of Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill totally disagreeing with each other. But they didn't hate each other. And they got stuff done. And to a great degree, Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich did not like each other at all. But they did get some things done. Debate is acceptable. Hate is not acceptable. And we are going to denounce anybody who is trying to make this seem like it is a war between the right and the left, because it is not. It is the work of one individual. The other thing to consider is the media. And when you watch these talk shows, what gets attention? Shouting matches, yelling, and the media sets up a debate and they find the most bombastic, they find the most passionate, they find the most argumentative individuals to put on the debate, because that's what gets ratings. And I keep talking to you about how the news media is entertainment, and it is governed by the same principles that govern any form of entertainment. It's about creating compelling content. And you and I have to be smart enough to know that they don't represent all of us. And the quest to get ratings is about finding people who are argumentative, finding people who are, I guess to some degree, hateful of the other side. Because that's about human conflict. And that's something that is always part of successful entertainment. All right, let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to James and Harvey. Hey, James.
How are you doing, Bill?
Good.
First of all, I want to say I agree with you. But I have some nuances I think need to be said. Hate is not the problem. To me, hate is just one of the symptoms of a larger problem. And there's some other symptoms that are showing up. And I want to remind people that about 2 weeks ago, there was a little 8-year-old boy named Fletcher and his little friend named Harper praying in school in a church died 2 weeks ago, somewhat in the same manner as this type of violence. We need to keep our eye on the ball, because yesterday, to me, it was not, even though I didn't agree with the man, but yesterday, two other children lost a father. A woman lost her husband. I tried to look up to see if Mr. Kirk had brothers and sisters so I could mourn with them. But praise God, I don't know if he has any or not. No, I don't care. I care that they are hurting today if he has them. I hope nobody knows who they are, because their names don't need to be put in the public. But people, what we need to realize, if we are more concerned about politics and who wins and who loses, while our house is burning down and we're letting out, we can't protect our own children. We need to find out what the disease is. So before I get two more, thanks for letting me speak, Scoot.
James, I appreciate everything you said, and you're right. If you're on hold, just hang on. We're going to get to your calls. Also, we'll go to Ian with some of your text messages that have been coming in. But the theme of the show today, the thing that we need to remember in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk being shot and killed, Charlie Kirk being assassinated, the thing we need to remember is that debate does not equal hate. Debate is okay. And even though this song was written a long time ago, it is so appropriate today that we ask the question, what's going on? I'm Scoot. And we'll be back on WWL. I think it's very appropriate that we talk about the tragedy of Charlie Kirk's assassination yesterday on today, the anniversary of 9/11. And much of our bumper music is music that was written after 9/11. This is Sarah McLachlan's song, A World on Fire. And, you know, it fits. It fits. The only thing difference is, the only big difference is that we are divided today. After 9/11, we were not divided. We came together as a country for a few minutes, and then we just went back to being who we are. All right, let's get to some of your calls, and then we'll get to a few of your text messages. Chuck's in Gonzales. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. I'll just get it out in the front. Sick people kill. And sick people revel in other people dying. So I just wanted to get that out in the front.
You're right.
The way I feel. However, I had never even heard of Charlie Kirk until he got shot, to be honest with you. So I just said, you know, like I like to do, I like to be informed. So I started reading and listening and watching a lot of the things that he did. He wasn't college educated, from what I heard on the TV. But he liked to hang around colleges because I think Charlie Kirk was not a real good person in my mind. I think he was on college campuses infecting people's minds with rhetoric that he was a very sly speaker. I don't even say he was a debater, but he was a very sly speaker in the way he wove in what I feel were racist, white supremacist comments in children's minds, college students, you know, young adults. And I don't think he was a good guy. In fact, when I was reading all of the things about him, a movie came back to me, a flashback of a movie called The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken and Brooke Adams and Martin Sheen, where Martin Sheen was this rising political star that Christopher Walken had this ability from an accident that he was involved in to see the future and see that this rising star was going to be this evil authoritarian figure. And when I was reading all the stuff about Charlie Kirk, I couldn't help having that flashback thinking, this doesn't seem like a very nice person to me, hiding behind his religious right BS, if you ask me. He was planting very unkind, if you don't speak English in this country, you need to go. He hung around with a lot of white supremacists that I could read.
Well, Charlie Kirk subscribed to Christian nationalism. He was a Christian nationalist. And this is why I disagreed with much of Charlie Kirk. But I don't, Chuck, know what kind of person he was. You know, he comes across as being a very charismatic young male. But I can't speak with what's in his heart. But I agree with you that much of what he said was very divisive. And he was a Christian nationalist. He wanted this country to be a theocracy. He wanted Christianity to rule the government and the government to rule by Christianity. I disagree with that. But Charlie Kirk invited debate. He went out of his way. He was on Jubilee. I saw him on Jubilee, which is a very interesting show on I think it's on YouTube, it might be. Anyway, it invites somebody in to debate like a whole group of people. And Charlie Kirk was a really successful debater. I disagree with what he stood for, but I still hate what happened to him. Because, again, debate does not equate hate. And we can have debate in this country and not hate each other. So again, we can disagree with Charlie Kirk, but we also have to disagree with the fact that he was silenced by a bullet, because that's not the answer. Janice is in New Orleans. Hey, Janice.
Yes, Duke. I've got something. I'm very sorry about Charlie, by the way. I didn't know, you know, too much about him or anything, but, I mean, the man never deserved to be killed, that's for sure.
But, well, I mean, you know, some. I mean, look, it I guess you can argue it depends on the crime that somebody commits, but expressing opinions that people disagree with is not a crime.
No, I don't mean nobody deserves to be killed. Criminals, if you murder, I say, I got my big three.
Janice, listen, we know you. If somebody shoplifts, death penalty.
No, not for that.
All right, I exaggerated a little bit.
Okay, now here's the deal here. This is something people need to open their eyes to, because I am seeing it. It's very obvious. It says here that there is a man, he's in the FCC, he plans to charge at enemies of the president, ready to use a power last used in 1971. Now, it says here that he has stated that he's ready and willing to take action against major media companies, okay, including potentially pulling broadcast licenses. And it says here, he's been with the agency since 2017. He seems to have embraced President Donald Trump's approach to the media.
Yeah, his name is Brendan Carr. That's the head of the FCC.
Yes.
And Janice, you're right, and it's something that I was going to get to this afternoon, because this is a scary thought, too, that the chairman of the FCC wants to start attacking and punishing
media outlets
that say something that President Trump considers out of line. Well,
here's something, Scoot. There's a lady on Facebook there. She got all twisted yesterday. Twisted. MSNBC should be abolished. No, they should not. There was a man on there last night. He said something with regard to Charlie Kirk's assassination that he should not have said. But that is on him, and MSNBC did do the right thing. They fired him. But I would not remove, that would be like saying the guy at late night TV there. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, he said a stupid joke. Let's take CBS off the air.
Well, this is
people don't realize we're turning into an autocracy here, and you better open your eyes. I know three people. I know three people. My cousin, a lady Brenda on Facebook, and a lady on AOL, Marilyn. And those women swear by Donald J. Trump. Now, I'm not saying I'm not down with some things he does, but I am also opening my eyes and seeing things. I am not stupid. I am seeing things that he wants to do. This is a free country, and I do say we have a right to speak unless I draw the line at inciting violence.
Of course.
Or direct threats.
Well, Janice, look, I think it's really great that you bring this awareness, because this is a really scary thing in America. This is unprecedented. I don't care if it's been done before. I'd have to go look up and see what was actually done. But the idea that the president of the United States is going to talk about actively punishing or pulling licenses of broadcast media that allow words that he considers to be negative toward him, this is a dictatorship if this happens. The president and the government do not control speech. This is a direct violation of the First Amendment, and we cannot stand for this. And you might agree that you don't like the things that these people are saying, but the fact that you want to shut that down, that's even worse. It's even worse. We'll be talking about this afternoon as well. Sheryl Crow wrote this song after 9/11. Happy birthday today to Harry Connick Jr., 58 years old. I'm Scoot on the air. If you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get to some of your texts coming up right after the news, and we'll get to more of your calls. We're just continuing to talk about the Great American Divide and the finger pointing that is going on in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination yesterday, which broke during our show. We talked about it yesterday, but the conversation must continue today. We need to change America.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
America. We need to start acting like the United States of America, this incredible country that was built on immigration, this incredible country that allows freedoms that no other country allows, this incredible, amazing country that allows people to speak out against the government freely and openly without any retaliation. Well, that's the concept of America, and that's changed, but that shouldn't change. I'm not happy with who we are as a country. This is not the America I want to live in, and I think we should all ask ourselves, what can we do to bring about change? Because let's remember that as a country, we're no better than the individuals that make up this country. Therefore, as individuals, we have the power to act a certain way. And if we act a certain way, then that's going to be a collection of goodwill that will ultimately change the image of this country. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. Thursday afternoon, tomorrow's Free for All Friday, heading into the weekend. We're still talking about the assassination of conservative talk host Charlie Kirk yesterday. And I disagreed with Charlie Kirk on a number of issues and talked about it on the show. And I don't take any of that back. And I don't need to take any of that back. I disagreed with him. But I am shocked and appalled that he was killed because somebody disagreed with his opinions. Charlie Kirk didn't do anything but express his opinions. And while I disagreed with them, I can also totally denounce the violence that was directed toward him that took his life. That took a husband away from a wife, that took a father away from kids. Why? Because you disagree? I wrote a blog about this. It's posted on our website at WWL.com. You can check it out there. If it's not up yet, it will soon be up on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And you can, okay, it's there. All right, it's posted there. You can comment on it on the Scoot on the Air Facebook. And I'll tell you right now that I may block some people based on their comments because we're going to no longer just tolerate just anybody. And we're not going to read the hate-driven comments that come in from a small group of listeners because that group is small compared to the listeners that we have. And again, I remind you that whether it's me or Charlie Kirk or whoever, debate does not equal hate. This is America. And we need to start acting like it's America. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. We'll get to your calls coming up here in just a moment. Hey, I want to remind you that at 3:30 this afternoon, we're going to talk to Kevin Todd. Kevin Todd is the CEO of SportsBroker.com. Last week, he gave a free tip to our listeners. And the tip was take Dallas +8 in the Thursday night game. And the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Dallas Cowboys 24-20. If you listened to Kevin Todd last week, you made money. If you're a bettor, if you've got friends who are bettors, tell them to tune in. We're going to give you the phone number. Kevin Todd's going to give you the phone number, and then you can call him, and we'll repeat the number after he's gone. Last year on Thursday Night Football, he went 13-3, and basically they're turning outcomes into incomes. So be listening for Kevin Todd, CEO of SportsBroker.com. That's going to be about 3:30 this afternoon. You're going to get some really powerful tips. All right, before I get to your calls, let's go to Ian with some of the text messages that have come in.
James on the North Shore is here, and he says, conversation rules the nation. Let's not let open dialect with each other die also. If you're so upset because you believe you're losing the world around you, then you're focused on the wrong things anyway. The more we lose of the flesh, the more we gain in spirit. Maybe you're wrestling with depression or reeling from a mistake that seems unforgivable, or you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. You may not like your present circumstances, but they may be the key to your character development, and character development is the key to your future.
Yeah, that's a very heavy text, but James, thank you. Thank you for that. I do think a lot of the people who are so hateful, what they've done, and I believe I wrote this in the blog. I know I talked about it a little bit yesterday. But what people do today is they so internalize their politics that they are their politics. Now, that's not the case with me. I mean, I am paid. I mean, I'm kind of a political junkie. But I am paid to have conversations and sometimes debates about politics. Now, we talk about music and pop culture and other things as well. But that's what I'm paid to do. When I leave the studio, yes, I have work to do to prepare for the next show. When I wake up in the morning, I have to prepare for the show. I do a lot of work on the show every day. But when I'm not working on the show, I'm not thinking about any of this stuff. I let this stuff go. And there are people who live and breathe their politics. And so when you say something that they disagree with, their world is rocked. Because they've so internalized and personalized their political views that that's who they are. They are their politics. And that's not a healthy state of mind. You know, find something else to get involved in. And you know, you don't have to be your politics. But I think the problem is a lot of people are just kind of lost and they don't have an identity. And their only identity is belonging to this club, either the right or the left. It's tribal politics. And that is what has led to this concept of war. And there are those on the right saying the left is at war with us. That's not true. I mean, they're at war over ideological things. But this was one individual. This guy, whoever did this, this person doesn't represent the left any more than the guy who shot the politician and her husband in Minnesota recently, the assassination in Minnesota of Democrats, that guy doesn't represent the right. The person who shot Steve Scalise doesn't represent the left. That was one individual who committed that horrific act. And thank God Steve Scalise is okay. Steve Scalise and I disagree, but we respect each other. I would never want anything bad to happen to him, and I am horrified at what happened to Charlie Kirk yesterday.
James goes on to say, I believe it would help us if y'all made it clear what you disagree with Charlie Kirk about. Love y'all. There's still plenty of love out here.
I don't think that's
the best use of our time today. Right. There may be a time later down the road when I can list 30 terrible things that he said and that he believed in. I don't think that's the highest use of our time right now. I like what you just said. Let's look around and see who's trying to lower the temperature, who is denouncing political violence unequivocally, emphatically denouncing it, and who is calling for war?
Who's
calling for more bloodshed?
Right.
Who's calling for more violence? Let's point at that.
Well, exactly. And if it is, if there are people on the right calling for violence against the left, which is just totally misplaced anger, because this guy doesn't represent everybody on the left. And I don't speak for the left because I'm a radical moderate. I'm right in the middle. I'm a registered independent. I did mention in the blog that I wrote, I mentioned some of the things that I disagreed with Charlie Kirk on. I'm not going to get into that on the air, but I did write a few things in the blog. And I did this for the purpose of showing I really disagreed with Charlie Kirk. But I am just still sickened and outraged that this happened to Charlie Kirk. And I can disagree with him and also just be violently upset that this happened to him. Because, again, debate doesn't equal hate. We should be able to debate each other, because this is the foundation of America, without hating, especially hating to the point where violence is the answer.
Here's a text that says, America's been like that. They killed Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley. They wounded Teddy as a candidate. They shot at FDR as a candidate. They shot JFK, RFK, MLK, shot twice at Ford, wounded Reagan and Trump. We've always been violent. How about the Indian and Black American Holocaust? We had a civil war. Nixon had his enemies list. It's the same old America. You're kidding yourself.
I disagree because of this. We should learn from our past. We should be better. We should be sophisticated, civil, and intelligent enough to know that debate can happen without violence. But I guess we can read into that text the reality that there are sick people in this world who don't know how to turn off their emotions. They don't know how to rage or just be really upset without acting. Think about road rage. You know, you and I have rage on the road all the time, but we don't do anything about it. But that's not going to stop some people from doing something about it with a gun or with their fist or with their vehicle. Just don't be one of those people. And let's denounce, you know, I am hearing this phrase, we need to turn down the temperature. Well, you know, yeah, that's one way to put it. We need to turn down the temperature. But let's not just make that a cliche that we say that makes us feel good at the time, like we've said something that's going to manifest change. Let's really work to realize how sometimes we just become too angry over what? Differing opinions? You know, if there's somebody with political views that you totally disagree with, that doesn't affect your dinner tonight. It doesn't affect your relationship with your kids. It doesn't affect your relationship with your wife or your partner. It doesn't affect the fun things that you're going to do. It doesn't affect the Thursday night football game tonight. So really, you know, we need to put this in perspective. We're just talking about conversations that we're allowed to have in America. And that should never lead to violence. All right, if you've got a comment, just hang on. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talking Text Line is 504-260-1870. And when we come back, we'll get to more of your calls. And we're just continuing to react to the assassination of conservative activist yesterday, Charlie Kirk. And he was an activist. He promoted certain things that I disagreed with, but I don't agree with what happened. And those of us who don't agree with what happened, even if we disagreed with Charlie Kirk, deserve credit for representing the civility in America that allows us to debate without supporting violence. And it's interesting, again, that we're talking about the state of America on the anniversary of 9/11. Remember how we came together after 9/11? And remember that we stayed together for just a few minutes? And then we reverted back into our political tribes. And it's okay to be part of a political tribe, as long as you don't support violence, as long as you don't become one of the ones that is depicting this as some kind of war between one side and another, because the person who did this doesn't represent anybody except himself. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. The music that was inspired by 9/11, and today is September the 11th, the 24th anniversary of the attack on American soil. The music that was inspired by that attack on America is very fitting for the conversation today about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It's a song called America by Imagine Dragons. California Governor Gavin Newsom said, quote, "The attack on Charlie Kirk is disgusting, vile, and reprehensible. In the United States of America, we must reject political violence in every form." Charlie Kirk was Gavin Newsom's first guest on his podcast earlier this year. Charlie Kirk invited, promoted, inspired political debate. It's ironic that political debate led to hate that led to somebody shooting him and killing him. But make no mistake about it, Charlie Kirk was all about political debate and pointing out his differences with other differences. Elon Musk, reckless and irresponsible for calling the left the party of murderers. Jesse Waters, who in my opinion ain't the brightest kid on the block, Jesse Waters just sort of went to a primal place saying they, the left, are at war with us. This doesn't help. Jesse Waters is not helping. But I guess he just doesn't understand the bigger picture. We should be able to debate without hating, without political violence. I mean, that's all that really needs to be promoted. Let's get to your calls. Let's go to David in Atlanta. David, good afternoon.
Thank you. And I'm really hyped today, and I hope I get this message out, Scoot. And I hate hate. And I have spoken out many times. Now, someone said on your radio station a few minutes ago, a politician, people should speak out, which I totally agree with. I worship the First Amendment. But under the Constitution of the United States, I have a right to constitutionally, peacefully protest. Before I get to a couple of examples how one person can make a difference, and I'm totally blind, right now the President of the United States is withholding more than $1 billion of appropriated, approved funds by the United States Congress to fight violent crimes. And he's evidently blaming black mayors for this horrible crime problem. And Donald Trump said the Democrats love crime. What hypocrisy. And I'll give you another example. George W. Bush, I believe, was quoted earlier today on one of the cable channels saying something has to be done about the violence. I couldn't agree with that more. But when George W. Bush was president, he would not renew the ban on assault weapons. Now, evidently this murderer who killed Charlie Kirk yesterday was using a high-powered assault weapon. The shot came from 500 feet. Now, and that monster who killed a lot of people in Sandy Hook was using an assault weapon. He took out of his home. Now, I've said for years, assault weapons need to be banned, and every weapon should have a gun lock on it by federal law when you're not in control or possession of that weapon. Furthermore, as I understand the law, I could sell for cash an AR-15 right now to anyone without a background check. That's insane. So George W. Bush said we need to do something, and I agree, but I don't know what his proposals are. Speaking out is great. Now, let me give you, and I hope I can say this, what a blind person has accomplished, and I'm telling the truth. When the Hornets came to New Orleans, they broadcast on a station that was once the home of the Jew-hater, racist David Duke. And, you know, I have a wonderful girlfriend who's devoutly Jewish. She speaks Hebrew. She served in the United States Navy. She's taught school in Israel. She actively participates in many good charity causes and contributes heavily. A finer citizen of the United States could not be found. And I've always stood out against hate all of my life. Billy Graham said the most important message of the Bible is love thy neighbor. Now, when the Hornets came to New Orleans, I sent a 10-page email to the commissioner of the National Basketball Association regarding this station broadcasting Hornets games. They had a $500,000 contract with that station. I told the owners of the Hornets and the commissioner of the National Basketball Association that they are contributing to the profit of a station that put out the most vile and filthy anti-Semitic and racist remarks, not fit to be heard in the world's filthiest gutter, and I promised to actively participate, encouraging civil rights groups, church groups, Jewish groups, community groups to peacefully protest, and I gave example after example.
So tell me what happened.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Within 2 hours, after I sent the email, the chief operating officer of the New Orleans Hornets called me at my home. May I say his name?
No, sure.
Jack Capella, the former district attorney of Jefferson Parish.
Okay.
He told me they had no idea what was going on at that radio station. He will cancel the contract. And I taped the show every day and called the sponsors. Every major sponsor pulled out. And that station later went out of business. And I was receiving threatening and harassing phone calls. I reported one person to the police. Now, I have recorded many hateful calls. There was a radio station I heard last night blaming the liberal media, MSNBC, for this unfortunate, tragic murder. When that same radio station that I've reported to the Secret Service and to the FCC, I filed complaints where I had recordings. There was one guy who identified as a letter carrier, and I notified and called his supervisor, and he was disciplined. May I say what was quoted? I had it on tape.
Well, okay. Okay.
Okay. He said President Biden should be put up against a wall and shot. And I sent information and the tape to the Secret Service. Another person on another station, a Christian station, said that President Barack Obama is part of the radical war, for Islam. Like, he was supporting the radical war for Islam, and one shot is all it would take. Well, I helped identify that person, and he wasn't heard on radio ever since. And the Secret Service called my home to thank me.
David, I appreciate your activism. I really do. And I think what you're pointing out is that, and this is true, is that the appetite for violence exists on both sides. And so for one side today to be blaming it all on the left based on the behavior of one maniacal individual is an injustice. And we shouldn't accept that. Because it happens on both sides. I said this yesterday. Neither side has a right to point a finger at the other side. Let's go to Craig on the I-10. Hey, Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Scoop?
Good.
I just made it home, and it's crazy. It's kind of ironic. My wife just brought me something. It's kind of dealing with what you're talking about. A guy just hit my son, and he told the guy, he said, "You know you hit my son?" He said the guy told him, "Call the police, nigga."
All right, wait. Look, I know you said that in the context of what happened, but you know we're not going to allow that kind of language to be said on the air. But Craig, we can continue the conversation.
All right, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
I call because all this is really coming from the top. Just how this guy handled this situation with Kirk, and this is a sorry situation for the guy. Nobody should kill it. But what President Trump is doing to him for his family, he did not do for the people in Minnesota when they got killed.
No, I mean, it's fair to bring that up, Craig, but it's also a political reality that we are human, and we will always side more with our friends than with our enemies. It's not fair, but that's the reality of politics.
You said something earlier when you talked about the United States of America. He's not the president of the United States of America. He's only president for those who agree with him. If you're the president, if it happens to this guy, you should be appalled. Call him a thug, and if it happens to this guy, you should be appalled and call him a thug. It shouldn't be divided.
Well, I agree with. I agree with that. I agree with that.
You know,
All right, so Craig, just let's go back to some guy hit your son. What, in a car?
Hit my son's vehicle today.
Okay,
and he went up to the guy and said, "Man, you know you hit my vehicle." He said, "Call the police." N-word.
So what happened?
The guy drove off.
Did they get his license number? Did your son get his license number?
He got his license plate number.
Well, track him down.
But that's what we have come to in this country now because of the leadership.
Well, if people follow the leader, it's ultimately the responsibility of the people who follow the leader. You know, a leader can say whatever he wants, but if people follow the leader, it's on the people who decide to follow the leader as opposed to rejecting the leader's rhetoric. And the rhetoric is ripe right now. And I don't want to point fingers. It's easy to do that. And it's easy to say that something's not fair. But life isn't fair. And we're human and we tend to bond with those we like, not those we don't like. But I do agree that a president of the United States should be president of the United States. And I'm deeply concerned about the information coming from the FCC that Brendan Carr said that the FCC is fully aligned with the agenda of President Trump is running. The FCC is supposed to regulate the media, not censor the media. And this idea that any broadcast outlet that broadcasts anything that President Trump considers to be offensive or inappropriate toward him might be punished, might be severely punished by the FCC. That is not the purpose of the FCC. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. This is a very important conversation, and it continues when we come back. And today is the anniversary of 9/11, and our bumper music, most of it is music that was inspired by 9/11. This is Bruce Springsteen's The Rising. And we'll be right back on WWL. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. We're still talking about the horrific, tragic assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk yesterday. You can disagree with Charlie Kirk as I did, but this should not have happened. And this should not turn into a war of the right versus the left. And those people who are trying to make this seem like a war, they're appealing to the hate in people. And that's not the right thing to appeal to. Let's go to Kurt in St. Rose. Kurt, you're on WWL.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. How you doing? First, let me send my condolences to Kurt's family and friends and everyone that knew him.
Yeah, thanks.
I started watching him on YouTube maybe about 2-3 years ago. A very, very, very intelligent, very, very intelligent man. And will debate anyone. You can. This is America. You can agree and disagree and still live to see tomorrow.
That's right.
He did not deserve to be assassinated the way that he did, all because you don't like his answers to your question.
Oh, that's right. I mean, that's right. I mean, you know, I don't agree with Christian nationalism, but people have a right to express that opinion in America.
Opinion. Correct. And this man was a father.
Yeah.
He had a family. I think he had 2 daughters, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. I know he had 2 young kids.
I don't think America realized the great loss that took place. Any life is should be one life is tragic, but I don't think the United States realized what loss happened yesterday. I think he was also setting up to run for president at some point in time.
You know, that's possible. He did a lot to mobilize the youth vote for Donald Trump, and he may have actually been responsible for Donald Trump getting elected because of that youth vote.
Yes, but it's just tragic. We are here in the United States of America, and it doesn't feel like it if stuff like this could take place.
I know. Kirk, I agree with you. I agree with you, and I appreciate the call. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon. I was just driving around, and I heard a caller that at the last hour that I think really epitomizes what the problem is with this. You know, you have a political show a lot of times, and people call in, and they disagree with you. And this guy said that he didn't know who Charlie Kirk really was. And, you know, listening to him, he thought he was pretty divisive and racist. And that's the whole problem, that kind of attitude. You know, just because somebody would call up your show and disagree with you and say, you know, I'm in favor of abortion and you're against it, that doesn't mean you hate women. Just because you're opposed to affirmative action and somebody else isn't, doesn't mean that they're racist. And that's what the problem is the reaction that people have now. It's so polarizing. I mean, I'm close to your age, and my wife and I disagreed on abortion when we dated. That didn't stop us from getting married and getting along. And now, you know, I mean, my kids told me when they date, it's like it's a non-starter if they're not on even the same political page anymore. I mean, but, you know, taking it to this level is insanity. Yeah. This I just can't get over it, you know, and that guy's attitude of just hearing him, you know, if anybody's ever heard this guy, he doesn't get angry. He's like you. He's got a great demeanor. He doesn't get angry. He makes his point. They don't agree with him. It doesn't mean he changes their opinion, but he doesn't yell at them, scream at them. He, you know, he treats them with respect, and that's the way it should be. And this is just, I don't know what else to say, but, you know, I just thought You know, that kind of bothered me that the guy immediately thinks the guy's a racist.
It is hard to find words to describe what happened and how significant it is. It's bigger than this one incident. It's a microcosm of America today. And Joe, you're right. There are people who look for quick reasons to call somebody a racist. But, you know, there are people who have certain views that does make it seem as if they're racist. That was not my big issue with Charlie Kirk. I disagree with him on a lot of issues. But again, at the same time, I'm a perfect example of somebody who stands for the right thing, because I am shocked and sickened by what happened. And yet I disagreed with Charlie Kirk, which just, you know, points out that we can disagree. And debate does not equal hate in this country. There's a manhunt underway for the individual who shot and killed conservative activist Charlie Kirk. And this person apparently slipped away. They've got pictures of him out. They believe this is a person of interest, maybe the person who fired the shots. There was a gun that was found in the woods, and a screwdriver was found near where I believe the shooting took place, and they believe that maybe the screwdriver was used to dissemble the gun for him to carry parts of the gun in on his person and then reassemble it when he was in position to shoot. But again, there's still a lot we don't know. I don't want to speculate too much on that. All right, we've got to get to a break here. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. More of your reaction to the death of Charlie Kirk coming up. Beyonce wrote this song about 9/11. Today is the anniversary. Song is "I Was Here." Those songs that were written about 9/11 are all about this country after an attack. That attack yesterday was not from a foreigner, but that was an attack on America. It was an attack on freedom of speech and should be seen as that. We'll be right back. Hey, on the Scoot on the Air calendar, happy birthday today to Tommy Shaw of Styx. Tommy Shaw is 72 years old. Saw him recently at IP Casino. Looks great. Sounds great. Still kicking it. Remember, you don't have to act your age. I'm Scoot on the Air. We're going to continue this conversation into the next hour. Plus, we'll add a few other things into the conversation. Just such a tragedy yesterday. It's important for us to continue to have this conversation about political violence.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are remembering 9/11. It's September the 11th. 9/11 occurred on this day, what, I think 24 years ago. And the music that was inspired by 9/11 really seems to fit the mood of the country now following the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So we've been featuring a lot of that this afternoon. The manhunt is underway. Apparently, the FBI is now saying that they have really good video of the shooter, but they're not releasing it yet. And they're showing a picture of the guy lying down at the top of that building, 200 yards away. Apparently, it was a single bolt-action, high-powered rifle. 200 yards away, this person had to know how to shoot. And apparently, he escaped, went into a neighborhood, went into the woods, dropped the rifle in the woods. It was found, but they're still looking for this person. They've got really good pictures of him now, and apparently they've got really good video of the shooter. Again, this doesn't happen in America, but it did. You know, this country was founded on disagreement. The Constitution grants us the right to disagree, even with the President of the United States. It's a fundamental right. It's the First Amendment for a reason, because of all the amendments, it's the most important. While political violence is not new, it seems to just be a little bit more consistent. And even those who are not committing acts of violence, the hate that is now part of political discourse has gotten to the point where it's unacceptable. And there are people who are inspired by that hate. But let me make this clear once again. The guy who shot Charlie Kirk does not represent the left. He represents a mentally disturbed, mentally unbalanced individual who made the decision to commit that act of violence. And I think we all need to be concerned about where we are in this country. And it's up to the individuals of this country to try to change things. You know, if you hear something that you disagree with and you get so angry that you start to hate as a result of that, that's not healthy. And yet, people allow their hate to supersede just, you know, the concept of disagreement in this country. In 1984, a talk show host, Alan Berg, who worked at KHOW, the station that I was on when I was on the air in Denver, in 1984, Alan Berg was killed. He was a liberal talk show host, expressing views during a campaign year in which Ronald Reagan won re-election. Those were tense times. The divide between the right and the left was tangible. A conservative listener disagreed with Alan Berg's opinions and shot him and killed him. Neither side has any right to point the finger at the other side because both are capable of promoting acts of violence over opinions with which they disagree. And I disagreed with Charlie Kirk, but I am deeply saddened and disturbed by his death because Charlie Kirk had every right to express his opinions on a college campus or anywhere else. And because he expressed opinions that somebody disagreed with, he's dead. That's not acceptable. I cover this in a blog that I wrote. It's posted on our website, wwl.com. It's also posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook if you want to comment on it. I will comment on some of your comments, but I'm not going to bother commenting on all of your comments because there's a relatively small group of people that do not represent the mass audience of this show that are just damn hateful. And I don't even want to entertain them with responding to what they say. And I experience the hate on a daily basis. But that doesn't represent the show, and it doesn't represent me. And there are people that just take politics way too seriously. So we may know more when they capture this person, and I'm confident that they will. I mean, we have great law enforcement in this country. And this person, at some point, will be found. But it seems pretty obvious why Charlie Kirk was killed. Because of his opinions. And that should not happen. That is not something that happens in America. Not the America I know. Not the America I love. That's not the America represented by the American flag. And so this has been worth a really long, passionate conversation. Because it's that significant. What happened yesterday is that significant in terms of expressing where America is today. And this is unacceptable. And Jesse Waters on Fox News is fueling it. I don't think he's that bright, but that's my opinion. But Jesse Waters is fueling this. Elon Musk is fueling it. It's going to be interesting to see how Fox News handles this. But there are disturbing things happening in this country. And I want to bring up, again, another current story. Brendan Carr, who is the head of the FCC, the chairman of the FCC. Look, I know about the FCC because I've been in this business a long time. The FCC regulates my business. But that's what the FCC is supposed to do. Regulate broadcasting, not regulate speech on broadcasting. And the head of the FCC under President Trump is saying that the FCC is fully aligned with the agenda that President Trump is running. That's not the purpose of the FCC. The FCC is to regulate things like the technical aspect of broadcasting. They're to regulate things like the responsibilities of radio stations. But that has nothing to do with the speech that comes from those radio stations. And so this is a violation of the concept of the FCC. And now they're talking about going after media outlets that express things that Donald Trump himself disagrees with. You think when Barack Obama was president, do you think he or Joe Biden agreed with everything Fox News had to say about them? Of course not. But neither Joe Biden nor Barack Obama talked about using the FCC to shut down those stations. If they would have done that, the right would be maniacal. I would be maniacal. I would be on the side of the right if they did that. We are free to express our opinions, even about the president. And so we have to watch this because President Trump doesn't agree with something. They're going to do something to punish the media outlet that allows a speech that the president doesn't agree with. That is like the definition of a dictatorship. And that shouldn't happen. And there are polls showing that, like I just saw a poll, over 30% of those surveyed said that political violence is justified in terms of advancing a political agenda. Over 30% say that's acceptable. And obviously there are some people who think it is. But again, remember the shooter. He doesn't represent the left. He doesn't represent Democrats. He represents one person, himself, a maniacal individual who made a decision to let his hate take over. And his hate took over to the point where he wanted to kill somebody. And he did. Let's go to some of your calls. Let's go to Gregory in Meadowlands.
Oh,
Gregory,
yeah,
welcome to the show, Gregory. Hello, Gregory. Hello, Gregory.
I'm going to win next year.
All right, we'll just check back with Gregory in a minute. Let's go to Jonathan on the West Bank. Hey, Jonathan.
Hello, Scoot.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
Good
to talk to you.
Thanks.
All right, yeah. So I'll make it quick. So I was just saying, not that it matters, but I'm just going to say for the record that I am a Democrat, and I did vote for Joe Biden, and I did vote for Kamala Harris. And I don't agree with everything that they did. I don't agree with, obviously, with Donald Trump, what he does, and I don't disagree with everything he does. And I do watch the right side, and I do watch the left, because I like to hear everybody's opinion. And I didn't agree with a lot of what Charlie Kirk said and stood for, but, you know, I respected him because what he did is what we need more of in this country is open debate. It's healthy. And the second point I want to make really quick is I despise CNN and MSNBC, the language they use, like, Hitler and Nazis and dictatorship,
yep.
Because all you heard before the election was like Oprah was saying, oh, if Trump wins, we're never going to have elections again. But now we're talking about the midterms in 2026. This language that they're using, like Nazis and Hitler, it's making people act this way, and it's scaring people. And mm-hmm. I don't think they need to be taken off the air at all, because it's America and we all should express our speech. And I respect everybody, whether I agree with them or not. But the language that some of these networks use are dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous rhetoric. And I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Well, there's dangerous rhetoric going on out there, Jonathan, but I think we have to check ourselves. I relate it to roadway rage. You know, we experience aspects of road rage all the time. You know, somebody does something and we just rage at the moment, but we don't act on it. But some people do. Some people road rage and they take out a gun, or they use their fists, or they use their vehicle to retaliate in a violent way. But most of us you know, just kind of rage a little bit. We get really upset because we disagree with what somebody did, but we don't act on it. And so that's what we have to focus on, just not supporting the act. And if over 30% of the people surveyed say they support violence in terms of advancing a political agenda, this is really scary. Because this is not part of the game of politics. This is not acceptable. And while there have been incidents over history, this is not what is supposed to happen. We're supposed to be able to express ourselves. And I can say something that somebody absolutely hates. But if you take it so personally that you hate me, that's your issue. But I think that, as I've said before, and again yesterday and again earlier today, people have so personalized their political beliefs that it's part of who they are. And if I say something that somebody disagrees with, they take it so personally that I have rocked their whole being, that I have attacked them personally. No, I'm attacking your beliefs. I don't know you personally. You might be a nice person. But I mean, not if you're full of hate. So people take it so personally that if somebody disagrees, they feel like they're personally attacked. No, it's just about politics. And the politics that I express on this show, this has nothing to do with what you do with your kids in the afternoon. It has nothing to do with reading a story and putting your kids to bed at night. It has nothing to do with having a great intimate relationship with your spouse or your partner. What I talk about in terms of politics, even if you disagree, it has nothing to do with what you do in your fun times. It has nothing to do with like going to the Saints game this weekend or going to an LSU game. It has nothing to do with any of that. And so to let politics somehow become so personal to you that you can't take it if somebody disagrees with you, that's what's wrong. If you want to join us, the Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Here's another one of the songs that was inspired by 9/11. We're using it today as buffer music. It's Paul McCartney, and the song is Freedom.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been talking a lot about freedom of speech and the aftermath of the murder of Charlie Kirk. We'll talk more about that coming up in a few minutes. But hey, let's take a really nice break, a nice football break here. There's Thursday night football on tonight. The Commanders, Washington, takes on the Packers of Green Bay. And let's talk to Kevin Todd. He is the president CEO of sportsbroker.com. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Scoot, thank you so much. And I want to let your listeners know that you and I spoke last Thursday about a half an hour before kickoff. And what did I tell you who we were taking?
You said take the Cowboys +8.
That is correct. Let me tell you, if they weren't such a bad team, they could have won the game outright.
That's right. And they won, and they lost by 4 points. So everybody who accepted your advice there, they had money. So, look, I love that you're on the show, Kevin, because we've got a lot of people who listen who love to bet on games. And Kevin Todd last year on Thursday Night Football went 13-3. So, now, look, nobody has all the winners all the time, but Kevin Todd and Sports Broker is turning outcomes into income, so here's a chance to make some money. You have a good pick this week?
Yes, I do. And let me tell your listeners right now, I'm 1-0 starting the new season. And I love tonight's matchup, Scoop, between Washington at Green Bay. And let me tell you what I'm going to do for your listeners. Everybody who calls right now from this show, I am going to give you the winner tonight absolutely free. That's right, folks. You heard it correct. Absolutely free, the winner between Green Bay and Washington. All you need to do is pick up the phone and dial 888-320-7517. That's 888 888- 320-7517. You could go to my website. You can opt in. A broker will call you back. You can read up about me. You can buy picks on my website as well. But I'm telling you, folks, I love this matchup tonight. In fact, Scoot, what I'm going to do, I'm going to let your listeners have a bonus. If I lose this game tonight, but I won't, but if I do, because anything can happen, I'm going to give them my best bet in college football tomorrow absolutely free. So, folks, pick up the phone right now. Dial 888-320-7517. I'm looking for serious players, people who want to make a paycheck each and every week, as much as you're making now, sometimes even more. And my motto, folks, less games, more money. No reason to bet multiple games on a Saturday or Sunday and try to hit a five-team parlay with all these bonuses that these sports books give you, because, Scoot, that's what they want you to do.
Yeah.
They want you to bet those parlays because they know you're not going to win. It's hard enough to win one game. What I do is I find the best game on the board, folks. We bet as much as we can. We win and quit. We go on to the next day. I'm telling you, folks, right now, this game tonight, Washington at Green Bay, this line is 3. Do not fall for the trap. Give me a call right now. It's yours for free. I want to earn your business. 888-320-7517. Like always, Scoot, I'm coming on the air. I want to give your listeners a free play.
Okay, that's awesome.
So I'm looking at this total right now. It's one of the best games on the board on Sunday. It's Philly playing Kansas City, Super Bowl matchup. This line opened up at 45.5, has jumped a full point since Wednesday, and some places a point and a half up to 47. Folks, I'm telling you right now, go out and grab 46.5 if you can get 46.5, because I'd rather have 46.5 in case the game lands on 47. I would not be surprised if this game was in the high 30s, low 40s, and this total being over by halftime. Let me tell you right now, the Eagles are 3-1 to the over after a Thursday night matchup their last four times. They're 3-1 to the over the last four times, a game before the Rams. But the best part, Scoot, listen to this, that any time Kansas City is playing with revenge off a loss against the team they're playing now, 10-0 to the over. Folks, 47.5 is my personal opinion. I like the over in that game. But, folks, that's just my opinion. You want a game tonight with the information that I get, and it's strong on this game, which is Washington and Green Bay. You need to pick up the phone right now and call 888-320-7517. That's 888-320-7517. You get tonight's game absolutely free. If I lose, you'll get my best bet on Friday free as well. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm not losing this game. I'm going to 2-0. You can hear Scoot. I told him a half an hour before the game started, Dallas will have a chance to win this game, but they'll find a way to lose. And I already texted him the game for tonight, so he already knows it. So don't be calling him up and asking for it, because he's going to be betting the game himself.
That's right.
And I'm telling you. And you know what Vegas does with these games on a game like tonight, Scoot? What they want to do is Vegas wants equal amount of money on both sides of the game. So let's say, for argument's sake, all the sports book in Vegas, they want an equal amount of money, where they want basically, let's say, I'm just going to throw a number out there. One sports book, they want $1 million on one way, and they want $1 million on the other way. Why? So then the sports book has no risk, Scoot. They get that anywhere between 15 to 20% vig on the game, and they don't care who wins. They make $150,000 to $200,000 on a game tonight. Care less who wins. But I'm telling you, folks, they set the line tonight for a trap. That's why this line is the way it is. You call now. It's yours free. I'm putting money in every single listener right now that calls up from Scoot's show. I'm putting money in your pocket first. And best of all, I teach you how to treat it like a business. I take the gambling aspect out. You give me a call right now at 888-320-7517. That's 888-320-7517. Or go to my website. You can sign up right there, opt in. A broker will call you back with the information, or you go buy picks right on my website. I'm telling you, folks, I started off last week 1-0 on Thursday. I'm going to be 2-0. My record last year was 13-3 on Thursday night. Scoot, you are the man.
Yeah, listen, Kevin, no, you're the man, because you're giving these picks. And you did call me a half hour before the game, and you said,
no, you called me.
Oh, I called you.
That's right.
That's right. I forgot. All right, so we talked a half hour before the game, and you told me what was going to happen, and you were absolutely right. And the website is sportsbroker.com.
TheSportsBrokers.com.
TheSportsBroker.com. Okay. TheSportsBroker.com. And look, I love your honesty. I love your accuracy. I love that you're on our show. And I love that you're giving our listeners winners. And, you know, nobody wins all the time. But, man, if they stick with you, I think they're going to do well this season.
No, I agree with you. You know, listen, folks, I don't win all the time. Nobody wins all the time. My goal is to – you might think I'm crazy, folks, but when I hear from customers and they always tell me, oh, I'm looking for a guy to hit 70%. Listen, I'm looking for a guy to hit 70%. If you know someone that could pick 70 winners out of 100, I'll give the guy $500,000. It's almost impossible. What I try to do, Scoot, is I try to hit 60% on the year. If I'm hitting 60% on the year for my clients are making a fortune. And I'm telling you, folks, I know it's early. But I know the holidays are right around the corner, about 2 or 3 months. If you want to make money for the holidays that are coming up, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and you want to have the best holiday ever, let me start building your bankroll today. I'm telling you, the information I have on this game tonight, I absolutely love. It's yours free. 888-320-7517.
All right, and it's thesportsbroker.com, but the number's
thesportsbrokers.com.
The sports brokers, okay, let's get that.
Yes.
We've really focused on the number, but thesportsbrokers.com is the website. But it's 888-320-7517, turning outcomes into incomes.
That's right.
Kevin, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next week, and I'm going to be
Scoot.
Forward
and
to
you want,
looking
you can
forward
call
to
me tonight again, and we'll
right.
chat before the game.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot.
Thank
you. All right, so look, you got the number. It's 888-320-7517. He's got the pick, a free pick tonight. If he's wrong, he's going to give you a free college pick tomorrow. That's a deal. It's Kevin Todd, 888-320-7517. Tonight, the Commanders and the Packers, Thursday Night Football. From all that we've been dealing with, it's going to be a nice escape tonight. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WL. Song by Bret Michaels titled One More Day and was inspired by 9/11. Today's the anniversary of 9/11. And this music is just so appropriate for the day after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. You know, we need to look ourselves in the mirror as a country and just ask ourselves, who have we become? And try to answer that question and change some things. For Gentilly, Elmo, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Elmo.
Good afternoon, Scoot. I wanted to interject, I guess, a different thought on this Charlie Kirk assassination.
Okay.
As reprehensible as it is, okay? But I listened to what evidence that has been shared on TV that it was a bolt-action rifle, which is the preferred rifle of a sniper, and that it was from about 200 yards. And where he was positioned and where Kurt was positioned. And I feel strongly that that had to be recons somehow and some planning put into it. And the first thought that came across my mind, some might consider it conspiratist, was that it was probably a radical group. Neither liberal or left or right wing, a radical group, I don't want a voice, that is bent on perpetuating and exacerbating the division in this country. And that was just the first thought. That I didn't think it was a sick guy or anything like that.
You know, Elmo, we don't know enough to say that you're wrong. I mean, you might be right about that. You know, shooting somebody from 200 yards away that accurately, that takes a lot of skill, and it would take some degree of planning. I mean, how did he get on the campus with a long gun? It's not like he was hiding a pistol in his pocket.
Exactly. So, I, you know, and all this finger pointing, you know, that he was a radical right winger, and you know, and y'all are responsible. You know, the pointing the right pointing to the left, saying y'all were responsible for killing him. You know, I've seen some, that shit on Facebook today. You know. I just can't help but feel
it's sad and it's pathetic. Elmo, I appreciate the call. Interesting observation. This business about this person represents the left. I mean, Jesse Waters, Fox News is wrong. This person doesn't represent the left. This person who is the shooter represented one person himself. Herm is in Harvey. Herm, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, in regard to the FCC, what are your feelings in regard to South Park, if you've seen South Park last three or four episodes?
I have.
It's just unbelievable. I'm not even a South Park fan. I just started watching it based on all of the information that came out 5 or 6 weeks ago in regard to Stephen Colbert. And I went, how did they allow this on TV, but yet want to take Stephen Colbert off? Yeah. It's just unbelievable.
You know, it's pretty amazing. The FCC doesn't quite have as much regulatory control over cable television as it does over broadcast television. I also think that that because it's not on in prime time. You know, if it's outside of prime time, it's a lot more is allowed than in prime time. It's animation, but it's clearly not for kids. It's an adult show. Every aspect of that is about adults. I mean, those 8-year-old kids, you know, they use foul language. They have amazing thoughts. Actually, the kids are very smart. There's a lot of wisdom that comes from these 8-year-old kids. It's the adults that screw everything up. The kids are pretty smart. But, you know, I don't think that's really in the realm of the FCC, although it is so derogatory toward President Trump. That I can't imagine that he doesn't want to do something about it if he can. The problem is, you know, Stephen Colbert reportedly was losing, you know, millions of dollars a year. The problem is South Park is very popular. The ratings are up and they're making a ton of money, and they always have. So that might go against what President Trump might want to do.
Exactly. So, and in closing, because I know you got to get to another caller, I think the president should have come to the broadcast last night on TV and, you know, gave a speech about bringing everyone together. I think he missed brownie points last night with picking up some people that don't support him. If he would came on TV last night and say, hey, let's get this behind us, let's come together and, You know,
I think that's a really great point. Yeah. That's a great point, Herm. That's a really great point. But that's not what President Trump does. He should do that. That would be a good thing for him to do. Ronald Reagan would have done that. Bill Clinton might have done that. Barack Obama might have done that. Barack Obama himself missed a few times to bring us together after things happened. So, you know, they really should do a better job of trying to bring us together. But it's all about fighting for their side. And their side wants them to fight and not compromise. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back to wrap up the show. We will continue the conversation throughout the time about just making America better. We can disagree without being violent. Let me give you the number for Kevin Todd again for tonight's winner on Thursday Night Football. It's 888-320-7517, 888-320-7517. Join Mike and Steve next from the Treasure Chest Casino. Drew Brees joins the guys at 4:40. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, News Anchor Chris Miller, Traffic with Courtney Fee, and thank you for being part of the show. Love you, New Orleans.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.